Good afternoon and welcome. You're listening to The Word from the Trenches on Patriot Broadcast from the Trenches, 89.5 Micro FM, Chiloquin, the state of Jefferson. Simulcast on the Grow Your Own Channel, 107.5 FM, Greenville, South Carolina. The Jalapeno Channel, 87.9 FM, Sioux Falls, South Dakota. And numerous other micro broadcasts and webcasts across our great nation. Our website is FromTheTrenchesWorldReport.com. We open the broadcast with Trenches by Pop Evil. It is... Oh, we got to do it. It's Evil Weasel Wednesday. It's also the 25th day of April, 2018. It's 12:04 Pacific Time. I'm your host, Henry Shively. This is a live call-in program. Listeners are encouraged to join in the conversation. If you'd like to call in, the number is 641-715-3610. A nice lady will come on the line and ask you for the conference room you want, and that would be 220029 and then the pound sign. Again, that's 641-715-3610. And then enter 220029 and hit that pound sign. Of course, you have to punch in *6 to unmute if you want to come up on the air and mix it up with me today. Well, it's currently 67 degrees, and we're looking for a high here at 4,200 feet in High Cascades in northern Jefferson. That threw me off. That 7 did. Weird-looking 7. And we're expecting a high of 76 degrees today for the Klamath Basin. Just a beautiful day. But it's going to start raining, you know, later today, tomorrow. Going to start raining. I might as well let everybody know we're not going to be here Thursday and Friday. Mark Schumacher will be here this evening, and he's coming to spend a little time with Laura and myself. And it's not very quality time when all the person does is sit here and watch us work. So we're going to go out, and we're going to do a few things, and we're going to have some fun. I know there'll be a lot of people resenting us for it, but we're going to do it anyway. That being said, let's see what we have on the itinerary. Migrant caravan to United States. First 90 invaders claim asylum. I love it, the way that people are starting to really call it for what it is, a goddamn invasion. Claim asylum at San Ysidro Crossing, and we're going to get into that as soon as we return.
Go to his head, his wife's aggravation, you soon end up dead. That's the same old story, same old song and dance, my friend. It's the same old story, same old song and dance, my friend. Shame and looking loser, you played with my gun. No smooth facing lawyer could get you undone. Say love. Satan on the south side of town. You could look, but you ain't gonna find it around. It's the same old story, same old song and dance.
Thank you for listening to PBFTT.
Patriot Broadcast from the Trenches, 89.5
Micro FM,
Chiloquin, the state of Jefferson.
Bringing you the word from the trenches, please give a big round of applause for Henry Shively.
Alrighty then, migrant caravan to U.S. First 90 invaders claim asylum at San Ysidro Crossing. And this is from the New York Observer. It was sent in by Katie for discussion on From the Trenches, worldreport.com. The first 90 invaders from the migrant caravan who seek to illegally force their way. I love the way this is. People are starting to see it. Illegally force their way into the United States by pretending to be refugees have presented themselves for processing at the San Ysidro border crossing between California and Mexico, and hundreds more are on the way. Good thing we got the military down there to protect that border, man. That's going to stop them, ain't it? According to a report in the San Diego Tribune, a Mexican national from Michoacan, became de facto leader of the group and started negotiating. Just came right down. See, I told you people, negotiating with you. And if they do, if Trump does go down there and they start trying to deport these people right at the border and hold them in a tent, oh, my God. Well, that nice shiny, that big shiny nickel's up for grabs. Anybody that wants to bet against it, negotiating with U.S. officials about how many people could come into the port of entry and when. The report said that he, with a few other volunteers, made a list throughout the day of those who wanted to ask for asylum. By mid-afternoon, the count was up to 388 and growing. And come on in. Here's your check. Here's your bus ticket. Here's your plane ticket. MS-13 gang member, we got a nice neighborhood for you. The situation is very bad here. We have a lot of problems. This is the speaking. The man said in Spanish to the San Diego Tribune journalist. There's a lot of violence in Mexico, he added. So we're taking refugees from Mexico, but I mean, they're our partner, man. We're pumping the money down there, moving businesses down there and what might have you. A number one trading partner. And now they're trying, well, you know, you had the Hondurans, they're coming up here, and they said that the Mexicans were so wonderful, and they felt so safe, and they were helping them be safe down to the border to invade our border. I mean, it's kind of some mixed messages here, isn't it? And I guess we better quit doing business with this goddamn totalitarian, these people committing genocide in Mexico, huh? I'd rather be locked up in the United States than killed here in Mexico, he said. Wow, really? As absurd as this claim to asylum obviously is, current U.S. law states that if a person who presents themselves at the border crossing claims that they are afraid to go back to their home countries, the officials must process them for asylum. We better go get asylum. And I mean, if we went up to Canada and just, you know, I want asylum, I feel they're going to kill me down there in the United States. Look at those maniacs down there. I want asylum. I want free everything, man. Give me my free stuff now. Give me my plane ticket. Give me my money and have more money in the mail when I get there, please. Their applications get processed, and if officers believe their claims, then they theoretically wait their turn for judges to hear their cases to make a final determination 2 years down the line if you show up. Is this stopping this invasion? They're calling it an invasion. Is it being stopped or is it being facilitated? Those tiny few who show up for their hearings have to show that they have been persecuted because of their race, religion, political opinion, or membership in a social society, such as a particular sexual orientation, something which is, of course, largely impossible because their asylum claim is patently bogus to begin with. But I mean, all you got to do is say, "Oh, I'm a fag. They kill fags," or what? I mean, just I want your country. Why should you make them say anything? Just get out of their goddamn way and let them have what you have. The full numbers of the migrant caravan is expected to arrive in Tijuana later this week, although it is not yet clear exactly how many invaders it will comprise. Let's see here. And we're going to just keep rolling right along here. D.C. judge issues strongest order yet backing DACA. This is from AOL. It was sent in by Angel for discussion on From the Trenches, worldreport.com. This is what we're talking about. You're not going to say anything. These people want to come up here and take your... Get the fuck out of their way. You want to get arrested? You want to get shot? They're coming here to take your country away from you. Get out of their way. Because your country's being run by a cabal of international communist admiralty judges that can't exist in your country, by the way. A third federal judge on Tuesday ruled against the Trump administration's campaign to end the Deferred Action for Childhood Arrivals program. Bullshit. All they did was gave an extension on it till their communist brethren in the courts could pick it up. And well, it's a law. You just got to let them have it because Obama said so. Childhood Arrivals Program for Undocumented Immigrants, ordering the administration to not only continue processing application, but also to resume accepting new ones. This is the goddamn law. You see, Obama wrote it down on a piece of paper, and that made it the fucking law. That's how a dictatorship works. You don't believe it? Just go ask his communist courts. They'll tell you. U.S. District Judge John Bates of the District of Columbia Circuit was withering in his 60-page ruling, calling the administration's attempts to end the program known as DACA arbitrary, capricious, virtually unexplained, and unlawful. Obama wrote it down on a piece of paper. It's law. It is the law of this land because we say so, and we're the communist judges, you see. Bates stayed the ruling for 90 days to give the Department of Homeland Security time to come up with better arguments for scrapping the program. If it doesn't, he wrote, he will enter an order reinstating DACA in its entirety. So you got Obama and a goddamn judge and legislating the, I'm not legislating, just goddamn writing down and dictating the law in this land. Do you see it, people? The Trump administration had sought to phase out the program. Bullshit. Starting last month. Bullshit. But two previous federal rulings stalled its efforts. Yeah, they just can't do it. They really want to. He has the authority. He is an acting dictator. He could write it down on the, I mean, Obama can write this down. What is this? Really? You got one fella in the same office. You got two guys in the same office. One guy can write down, this is what we're going to do. And then he's out of office. The next guy goes, no, we're not going to do that. We're going to, no. What the first guy said, okay? That's the law. Can you believe this? I mean, this just shows to go you that the procedural due process, the whole idea of any kind of law in this country is frickin' gone. Okay, program starting last month, but two previous federal rulings stalled its efforts. Bullshit. Neither of those rulings by judges in Brooklyn and San Francisco ordered the government to resume accepting new applications for protection under DACA. Making Bates' ruling the strongest one so far. Just a son of a bitch. Just, I guess all these communists really had to do to get a complete hold on the goddamn power in this country is just, Obama just appointed a bunch of them into these judge seats, wrote some illegal executive orders, and anybody tries to go against what he wrote down on that piece of paper, oh no, that's the law. It was wrote down by Obama, that's the law. Jeez, that's a fair argument. We got to stay with that. Each day that the agency delays is a day that aliens who might otherwise be eligible for initial grants of DACA benefits are exposed to removal because of unlawful agency action. So that's law. That's signing statement. That was a dictate from a dictator. And by God, this is what this court is trying to tell you. Oh, this is law. Obama wrote it down. This is law. It shows you that phony-ass constitution hasn't been in goddamn operation for about, 100 years now. In February, the U.S. Supreme Court declined to hear the administration's appeal to the San Francisco, it is what it is. It's an invasion. You know when it stops? When we stop it. You know when they're going to stop doing this shit? When we stop letting them. That's how it works. Conservative Parkland survivor questioned by a school security after visiting gun range with father. Now, this is how the American nationals are being treated. We've seen how they're treating the invading forces that are coming in to displace us, the recolonization forces. Now, let's see how we're being treated with our Bill of Rights, the absolute law of this land. This is from Breitbart. It was sent in by Shalom. For discussion on From the Trenches, worldreport.com. Conservative Parkland shooting survival, Kashev, was questioned by school security after he visited a shooting range with his father. Now, if I'd have been the dad, ifs and ands and what the world should be, but something I wouldn't stand for. I wouldn't, first base, my kid would not be near any kind of people that were like that, that I even thought were like that. But, it's part of society, don't you know, that you got to put up with goddamn communists. I mean, when the communists moved into this school over here, I went over and took my kids out of the school. And they asked me why, and I said, because you're a bunch of communists. And you know what they did? It was like, okay. Kashav posted videos of his day at the range. One of the videos showed him shooting an AR-style rifle. Kashav praised the Second Amendment. Well, he's a stupid-ass fool, isn't he? He doesn't know what he's talking about. I mean, this is something we really have to push people because it is not the Second Amendment. I mean, when we're sitting there asking for it, we want our Second Amendment. You're not talking about it. You're talking about, goddamn it, you want... states to be able to sue each other? Is that what you're talking about? And I think this is how they have been able to disconstruct our second article by calling it an amendment that has nothing to do with the subject matter it was written for. Kassab's social media posts made the rounds, and upon returning to school, he quickly realized he had drawn the ire of security personnel, including members of the Broward County Sheriff's Office. He told the Daily Wire that he was called out of class after the range visit and questioned by school security. Man, I'll tell you what, people, if somebody messes with your kid, you should beat the shit out of them. But this has gone so goddamn far. It's like the school security, the school 007 security team, international gangsters. I mean, this is what you're talking, a goddamn school. In a school! Near the end of the third period, my teacher got a call from the office saying, I need to go down and see a Mr. Greenleaf. I didn't know Mr. Greenleaf, but it turned out that he was an armed school resource officer. I went down and found him, and he escorted me to the office. Then a second security officer, 007, licensed to kill, walked in and sat behind me. Both began questioning me intensely. They went to, like, I don't know how old this kid is. But by the time, I mean, I popped an asshole in the eye, a goddamn vice principal, when I was about 15. Thought he was going to buffalo me. I drilled him right in the goddamn eye. He learned he wasn't going to buffalo me. Both began questioning me intensely. First, they began berating my tweet, although neither of them had read it. Then they began aggressively asking questions about who I went to the range with, whose gun we used, about my father, etc. They were incredibly condescending and rude. I'll tell you what, when this guy got off work, I'd have been down where he gets off work, and I'd have been out in the parking lot. You know, it might go to jail, but I'm whipping his ass. I'm stomping him down into the goddamn ground. You come near my kid again, and I'll bury your fucking ass. That's shit, the attitude that used to be the American attitude in this country. How dare you? How dare you speak to my child, let alone speak about my guns and my rights and what I'm doing? I'm going to tell you what I'm doing. I'm whipping your ass right here, you son of a bitch. Then a third officer from the Broward County Sheriff's Office walked in and began asking me the same questions again. At that point, I asked whether I could record the interview. They said no. I mean, I asked if, who are these people? What is your authority? That's my question. What is your authority? I work for the corporation here. Really? You're violating my child's rights for procedural due process. Do you have some kind of beef with my kid, a legal beef as a proper party in the common law? Because if you don't, what you are doing here is under color of law. You think you're going to come in and just fucking push me and my son around, and I think I'm going to have to whip your fucking ass, dude. This is unacceptable, people. I mean, this is how far it's come. I mean, nothing like this. If you would have just, I mean, I don't care who it was, came up and just bothered my kid in school, came home and told me about it, I'm going after that son of a bitch. And I guarantee you, they're not going to want to do, I don't care what happens. There's just some goddamn things you aren't going to do to me or my family. And you could get put in, I don't give a shit. You don't get it. There are some things you cannot do to my family. There are some things we'll take to the fucking grave if that's what it takes. You're just not going to do it. And this is a way every one of us is supposed to be. That Bill of Rights, we're supposed to defend it in every quarter. In every instance that it is trampled, as they try to trample on, like this right here, this should have been, I mean, forget, well, you can go through this administrative complaint process. Really? Here's my administrative complaint process. Boom! I'm going to beat your ass right down into the goddamn ground because you put on some fucking clothes and are operating under a commercial contract that you can fucking walk on my rights. I think I'll walk on your head. Think about that. Some asshole down the street from you. He's an asshole. Everybody knows an asshole. He goes to work for one of these son of a bitches, puts on some funny fucking clothes and gets him a little nameplate thing, and all of a sudden he can fuck with you. Really? I don't think so. At that point, I asked whether I could record the interview. They said no. I asked if I had done anything wrong. Again, they answered no. Then I've been, what the hell am I doing here? I asked why I was there. One said, don't get snappy with me. Oh, really? Who the fuck are you? Like I said, who are these? They go and they work, go to work for a goddamn corporation, and they get some, you know, some kind of, like I said, a suit and a little ID card. Don't get snappy with me. Hey, how about I can kick your fucking ass? You don't get smart with me, bitch. That's what it is. They want one of these, that's who gravitates to this shit, to these spineless little communist punk bitches. You know, because they've been punked all their life because they are punks and they're cowards. But now they could think because they get their little name tag or their little, corporate logo or whatever in the shit it is. And there's somebody, you're just gonna have to, I'll get it right up in your face. Really? Boom! You don't know me! You don't know me one little bit. No, you didn't. Now you're laying there in a puddle of fucking blood. I guess that wasn't what you thought it was it? They were incredible. Okay, we're again answered. No, I asked why I was there. One said, don't get snappy with me, boy. Do you not remember what happened here a few months ago? I really don't give a monk's fornication what happened there 4 months ago, buddy. It ain't got nothing to do with me. You better get out of my face. They continued to question me aggressively, though they could cite nothing I had done wrong. They kept calling me the pro-Second Amendment kid. Well, that shows they're fucking dumb too, huh? I was shocked and honest, and that's why they keep putting this out here. It's like when they, every time they want to say democracy, if they can say it 90 times in a day, what are your country? I live in democracy, I guess. That's what I heard. It is not the Second Amendment, and everybody who cares about this country better start calling it correctly, the Second Article to the First Amendment to the Constitution, for the little united big-ass states of these Americas. I was shocked and honestly scared. It definitely felt like they were attempting to intimidate me, you think? But this is just a kid. Like I said, this is why you have a parent. Somebody does this to your kid, you go down and you kick their ass because they're a punk to start with. There's somebody who in the real world, without some kind of endorsement of authority, an unexistent authority, that they think somebody else is going to come and back their ass, they would walk across the street rather than pass you on a sidewalk. That's how cowardly they are. That's why they gravitate to these places. I was treated like a criminal for no reason other than having gone to the gun range and posted on social media, well, your dad let it happen. Your dad's a punk is all I can tell you, kid. Sorry. Your dad is a punk, or he wouldn't let this happen to you. He wouldn't have been able to go on with his life knowing that he allowed this to happen to you if he was a real dad. That's all I can tell you. He might have a gun. He might take you down the shooting range, but he ain't no real dad because he wouldn't allow this. A real dad wouldn't. Okay, now we talked about the fact that, these invaders coming to our country, and you know people are starting to call them invaders. In the article, they were calling them the invaders that they are. But we watch, it's going to be, racism and all the terriblest shit in the world. They're calling them poor little people up here for a better life, invaders. Oh, you terrible, terrible people. But let's see what's on the other side of the hypocritical coin. Jews in Congress urge Israel to accept UN deal to deport African invaders to Western countries, from the New Observer, sent in by Katie. For discussion on From the Trenches, worldreport.com. 18 Jews serving in the U.S. Congress have issued an urgent written appeal to Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu, calling on him to accept a United Nations High Commission on a refugee deal, which would see thousands of African invaders deported from the Jewish ethnostate to Western countries in Europe and North America. Oh, they sent them here. You see, you don't get to go and just invade those people's culture because they're special, you see, and you're not. You're just another goyim cattle, and if they want to herd cattle from other parts of their realms into your neighborhood, into your yard, you know, MS-13 gang members hacking up your children, you know, what might have you. Well, that's, you're a racist if you don't want to go. They don't have to be racist. See, they're above all of it. You're animals, you see. You'll be racist amongst yourself, amongst the goyim. But they, I mean, you can't even question the higher-ups here. I mean, the rulers of this world. The Jews were named as New York representatives Nida Lowey, Elliot. I'm not going to go through all these goddamn names. There's a bunch of them. In the letter, the Jews urged Netanyahu to reinstate the canceled UNCHR deal. The members, all Democrats, said they were, quote, heartened by the signing of the agreement and disappointed by Netanyahu's swift decision to retract it on April 3rd following pressure in Israel. So everybody's starting to look over there and go, you goddamn hypocrites. You come into our goddamn country. You infiltrated into our government. You got a law passed saying that you, as a dual citizen, the only dual citizen, it has to be an Israeli American. It cannot be any other nationality American, not an Irish American, not an African American, a real African American from Africa. Dual citizenship, dual passports, only a Jewish Jewish American carrying dual passports can serve in our goddamn government. How is that, people? Isn't that a little discriminatory in its own self? Not to mention there is no other country on this planet that would let somebody with dual citizenship serve in their government. It's called dual loyalties. Serving two kings you cannot do. And they do put Israel first, as noted right here. This is the business they're doing, why they're not trying to help the invaders from other countries come in and take every goddamn thing you got. This is what they're doing. This is what your representatives are doing, representing you. The UN deal stated that Israel would be able to send as many as 16,500 asylum seekers to Western countries, including Italy, Germany, Canada, and the U.S., while allowing a similar number to remain in Israel until a better solution arrives, in other words, to eventually expel all Africans from Israel. Israel negotiated the agreement following the collapse of a prior agreement it had with Rwanda to forcibly deport the Africans to those countries. After canceling the UN deal, Netanyahu has signaled that he is once again examining ways of forcibly deporting asylum seekers to an unspecified third party in Africa, most likely Uganda. The deal, however, collapsed finally this week when the government admitted that there was no possibility of expulsions to Uganda. But I mean, this is a problem, man. If they want to throw people, you don't call them a racist. You wouldn't dare call the chosen people racist, would you? Not you people out there. You know better. You know that they are chosen, and they are our masters. Well, if they want to throw the riffraff out of their country, they don't want to destroy their country through multiculturalism that they've pushed on the rest of the world. Well, that's their right. Yeah, we're down at the bottom of the hour. We're going to take our bottom of the hour break. We'll be back in about 8 minutes. You're listening to The Word from the Trenches on PBFTT.
Listening to PBFTT.
Patriot Broadcast from the Trenches, 89.5.
Micro FM.
Chiloquin, the state of Jefferson.
If there's one thing in my life that's missing, it's the time that I spend alone, sailing on the cool and bright clear water. There's lots of those friendly people, they're showing me ways to go, but I never want to lose their inspiration. Time for change. I know that it's time for a cool change. And now that my life is so prearranged, I know that it's time for a cool change.
was born in the sign of water, and it's there that I feel my best. The albatross and the whales, they are my brothers. It's kind of a special feeling when you're out on the sea alone, staring at the full moon like a lover. The time that I spend alone, sailing on the cool and bright clear water. It's kind of a special feeling, out on the sea alone, staring at the full moon like a lover.
Listening to The Word from the Trenches on Patriot Broadcast from the Trenches, 89.5 Micro FM, Chiloquin, the state of Jefferson. The Word from the Trenches is a listener-sponsored broadcast. If you'd like to help keep this programming on the air, go to FromTheTrenchesWorldReport.com and hit that donate button. Or you can mail donations to Henry Shively at Post Office Box 964, Chiloquin, Oregon, 97624. Your contributions are appreciated. I'm your host, Henry Shively. It is 12:37 Pacific time. And that was a Little River Band with Cool Change. Yeah. Anyways, we were here with Jews in Congress urge Israel to accept UN deal to deport African invaders to Western countries. Okay, we hear. Okay. The congressmen and congresswomen wrote Netanyahu that in recent months many of us have heard from constituents who care deeply about Israel and who are also gravely concerned with respect to the future of approximately 38,000 asylum seekers living in the Jewish state. Boy, this is what your constituents. I'm a constituent. I know what I think about Israel. I know what you think about Israel. I wonder who they're talking about, Judeo-Christians. The members added that the United Nations agreement appeared to provide a long-term solution for the Sudanese and Eritrean asylum seekers and those concerned about the development and rehabilitation of southern Tel Aviv. Development, we've got to get to clean this place up, man. We got riffraff coming in here from around the world, coming across our borders, man, invading our country, trying to take, get them out of here. It's our right to throw them out, don't you know? Just ain't yours. Because your culture is not important. Only the Jew culture is important on this planet. Make sure you understand that. However, within a few hours, we were dismayed to hear that the agreement had been suspended, then canceled, leaving the asylum seekers in a limbo with no clear next step. The lawmakers said they were writing a Jewish Congress member and also on behalf of their constituents. The majority of the lawmakers represent districts with substantive Jewish communities. Oh, you mean the Jews that run us over here for the Jews over there? While we recognize the complexities of this situation, we are disappointed by the decision to cancel Israel's agreement with UNHCR and the UN High Commission for Refugees, and we urge you to quickly find a solution that is the best interest of both Israel and the refugees. You just ain't bringing them here.
Henry.
Hey, brother, how's it going?
All right, man, I'm hanging in there. The bright side, they could be using these people on the Palestinian border, sitting in lawn chairs, shooting at them for target practice.
How did you know what the next story coming up was? Get out of my freaking mind. Both the letter said, meanwhile, Netanyahu has vowed to pass a new law which will override all courts in the Jewish ethnostate. How about we pass a new, he's going to pass a new law that that's what we need, isn't it? All of these courts stepping in and saying Obama wrote it down. That's their country now. Obama gave it to him. Nothing you can do about it. That's the law now. We're saying so. I think we need a new law to get rid of this commo state, which will see the reopening of all previously, I'll tell you what it says, why it threw me off, all previously concentration camps. I don't know what the hell that's supposed to mean, but that's not grammatically correct. All of our previous concentration camps, I guess, to hold the nearly 40,000 African invaders. They're going to put them in concentration camps. Not the Jews. While a new solution, a final solution, is found to the problem. Now, the solution is come dump them over here in the United States, because the new United States is your fucking trash yard. It's your dump, right? In a tweet on the topic, Netanyahu said that after several third-party countries refused to receive the infiltrators, see what he's called, infiltrator, what did he say? You watch how we get dissed on for calling them goddamn invaders and infiltrators into our country. But you cannot speak against the holy ones. There was an article up about, the law they're passed in South Carolina. You can't criticize the Israeli government for what they do in your own goddamn country. Really? According to the conditions Israel demanded, I decided together with Interior Minister Aryeh Deri, to immediately prepare to reopen jail facilities for infiltrators, to advance legislation, knowing the Knesset to override the High Court, so that we can operate the prisons, and to advance other means for solving this problem. Man, if we did that, wow. You watch what happens if Trumpy does. That might be a play they're going to do. They're going to send go down there and set up tents and say, well, you're coming across, you're going to get a hearing tomorrow, the next day, and you watch the goddamn communist courts, the illegal communist courts. This even saying it, but it's true. Illegal communist courts will say, no, you can't. You cannot. You just can't. We say so. The Holot concentration camp was shut late last year after Netanyahu announced an agreement to deport 40,000 Africans pretending to be asylum seekers. You see what I'm hearing? This is what he's saying. And that was just in that article I read you. You watch what comes down to, oh man, we're terrible. We're racist. We're terrible racist, goddamn white supremacist mother. Yep. You know what we are. asylum seekers entered the country illegally. Really? According to a report in the Jerusalem-based Times of Israel, state officials told the Israeli High Court that there was no possibility to forcibly deport the Africans to a third country and that the existing deportation orders would be canceled. They're just going to put you in a concentration camp. That will teach them. Israeli soldiers goat and cheer as they shoot Palestinian protesters. Woohoo! That's what Flea was talking about. And meanwhile, while they're telling us you're going to take whatever refuge we want to dump into the United States and you try to, you ain't going to do anything about it. The communists got, there's about 10 communist judges or what, 9 communist judges in this country. Oh, 18 if you count the Supreme Court and they're all in it together. They're dictating. They have got the communist agenda and it's going to be what you're going to live under because they say so. And they wrote it down on a piece of paper and they signed it. This is from RT. It was sent in by number one New World Order hater for discussion on From the Trenches, worldreport.com. Disturbing footage from the West Bank published by an Israeli human rights group shows IDF soldiers discussing how to improve land shots on unarmed Palestinian protesters and cheering as they hit them with rubber bullets. And, oh, man, but you know, they got the right to shoot their goyim. I mean, it's like sitting out in the... And the pastor shooting groundhogs, you know, they got a right to shoot the rubble. It's theirs. The video shows 3 Israeli Defense Force soldiers standing on a road that leads to a Palestinian settlement and firing at a group of Palestinians who gathered meters away. The soldiers are also seen routinely discussing the best ways to fire at people. Hey, these are the people we worship. These are the people that can't be questioned. These are the people that we will stand for in the United Nations and around the world. We will send the blood of our young to stand before the great Zion Empire. It is far, still too far. Wait for them to come near, one soldier is heard telling the other when preparing to fire a shot. They also discourage each other from shooting from a longer distance as it would apparently scare the protesters off. You got to chum them in. Maybe you could lay some, you know, some food down there or something, get them closer. Yeah, man. Oh, ain't this fun? Oh, look at them scream and squirm. Oh, yes. Oh, he's got to be a 6-year-old, man. I'm going to write that in my book. We need one good hit and that's it. That will teach them to not throw stones, one soldier says at some point. The same soldier is heard saying in the video that the stones, which were apparently being thrown by Palestinians, did not even reach the soldier's position. They had to chum them in closer, you see. I can see this happening. The men are also shown to be reacting with excitement after one of them apparently hits a protester with a rubber bullet. Disturbingly, one of the soldiers then remarks, "One live bullet and the whole thing will be over," to which the other one replies that they do not need live fire. The former then complains that one cannot effectively shoot a person with a rubber bullet, and you can't. I mean, you want to see that 6-year-old, you want to see his leg blowed open, you want to see him squirming there because you hate them Palestinians, don't you? And you want to see him suffer, and then when one comes up close, oh, you can hit him in the leg. Boy, then you got double the fun going. According to the description of the video, which was published on YouTube by the Israeli Information Center for Human Rights in the Occupied Territories, the incident took place in the Palestinian village of Madama, located to the southeast of the city of Annapolis, like we're supposed to know where either one of these places is, in the West Bank of on April 13th. The Israeli minister placed a roadblock at the eastern entrance to the village. When the Palestinians attempted to remove the roadblock in a protest move, a total of 11 Israeli soldiers arrived. At some point, the Palestinians started hurling stones at the soldiers. It is, however, unclear if the soldiers started firing in response to the protesters' actions or before the Palestinians began throwing rock stones. You got rocks and bullets. Boy, that's a fair fight. A total of 7 Palestinians were injured in the incident. 2 of them were taken to a hospital in Annapolis for medical treatment, while others were treated on the spot. The video was published just days after a retired Israeli general defended the IDF practice of open live fire on unarmed protesters in Gaza in a controversial interview. It's controversial, you see. They shooting unarmed people, man, kids, shooting children, man, just shooting them down. And it's controversial. It isn't illegal. It's just controversial, don't you know? Zvika Fogel, the former chief of staff of the IDF Southern Command, which controls the 65-kilometer, 40-mile border with Gaza, said that anyone who gets close to the border fence between Israel and Gaza automatically poses a potential security threat and could thus be considered a legitimate target, even if it's a child. Because we like shooting children. Boy, it's a lot more fun. Boy, they make a lot more noise when you hit them. You know, you blow like an arm off and they'll scream. And man, you can just sit there and just rob. Oh, God. Ooh, feels so good. Blood coming out of a little child, man. Ooh. Vogel also dismissed any criticism by calling the lives of Palestinians. I don't get that. Fogel also dismissed any criticism by calling the lives of Palestinians who, during the protests, were allegedly killed by accident an unfortunate price that we have to pay to preserve the safety and quality of life of the residents of the State of Israel. It's just unfortunate.
There you go. And I love that word. Accident. Accident.
Allegedly killed by accident. Let me see. I hold a bead right on your chest, and I mean, or I got my scope. I got a crosshair because they're shooting. I think they're shooting 22 magnums and 17.
I accidentally squeezed the trigger.
Yeah. Oops, you're laying there screaming, and I'm sitting here grinning and drinking a beer. It's just the price that we have to pay to preserve the safety and quality of life for our chosen masters in Israel. That's all. That's just how it is, people. They got to shoot some children. Hey, we got to go with it. Of course, in Syria. Now, in Syria, you know, they released some chlorine, and they found out that there wasn't even no gas released. And they hurt some children over there. They hurt some children. 100 missiles right now. Let's get them. They hurt some children. Children, children, children. Why, these guys at the same instant are sitting over there on the Gaza Strip plinking children with bullets. Earlier, a 15-year-old Gaza boy, Mohammed Ayoub, was killed by the IDF during protests in Gaza. A local cameraman who captured the shot, Abdul Hakim Abu Rayash, told RT that the teenager was nowhere near the fence and was not carrying any sort of weapon. So, they told, if we can reach out there and hit you with this gun, you're too goddamn close to us. Don't you understand? Israel's controversial practices. I love this, man. Oh, it's not a war crime to shoot children, unarmed children, would set their rifles and shoot them. It's controversial is what it is, people. When Israel commits goddamn genocide on, it's not legal. It's controversial. Israel's controversial practices have long provoked criticism from international organizations and human rights groups. Oh, how dare them criticize the chosen folks. Damn them. It's the good Judeo-Christians of this country ought to rise up and, well, kill them. Shoot their children. Cut them up. In early April, the UN Office of the High Commissioner for Human Rights urged Israel to ensure the security forces do not use excessive force against Palestinian protesters. Tell me, flee. I'm sitting back with a rifle, and there's people, if they get within 200 yards of a fence you're on the other side of, and if you start plinking them with 22 magnums and 17 HM or whatever they are, 17 caliber rifles with scopes on them, would that be excessive?
I told you it was an accident.
That's right. An excessive accident, maybe? I don't know. Excessive force against Palestinian protesters. Human Rights Watch and Amnesty International slammed what they called calculated killings. Well, now, God damn it, it can't be calculated killings and controversial at the same time, can it? Is it excessive? Is it excessive calculated killings, controversial practices? I don't know. I think that we're going to err on the side of caution and call it, well, just a boo-boo. Killings and the use of deadly force against unarmed protesters, including, well, children. Oh, let me see. There's a pretty good one. We had the fact that the Southern Poverty Laws, you know, they're going around and they're the ones filing all these laws. They're the ones that will file the lawsuits if any of these invaders are turned back at the border. And it is interesting, you know, because, you know, Trump, you know, the good conservatives, they took over the government, didn't they? Southern Poverty Law Center amasses nearly $500 million in assets in Trump era. What? How'd they get money? I thought you were going to shut them down. This is from Information Liberation, sent in by Gray Rider for discussion on FromTheTrenchesWorldReport.com. The Southern Poverty Law Center is fabulously wealthy, according to the latest tax filings. From the Daily Caller, the Southern Poverty Law Center more than doubled its revenue in 2017 in the latest indication that the Trump era has been a financial boom for the left-wing nonprofit. And how, you know, it's like Planned Parenthood and all these places that got all these millions and millions and billions of dollars. Well, that was the trade-off. You see, you got the communists there, and the communists, they got own them courts. I mean, they have placed their agents all through them courts, which could be arrested right now for what they are for obstructing justice. They could be arrested for aiding invasion, because at least now we're calling it an invasion. But they're not going to be arrested. They've been put in place there for a reason. Now, see, if you want to get, okay, you want to give $3.2 trillion to the son of a bitches who stole the people's money, who committed fraud back in 2008. You want to give them $3.2 trillion more. You got to give. This is called give and take. This is how it works. And so we're going to have to give this to Southern Poverty Law to attack the freedoms of the people in the United States. It works out good for Trumpy and his internationalists who want a slave force. And it works out good for the communists, who are a bunch of lazy fucks who parasite off the rest of us so they can lay around and, you know, have a few of them file lawsuits to take away our rights and to represent foreigners in our country. It just works out good all the way around if you look at it the right way. The Southern Poverty Law reported $136 million in contributions and grants for the most recent fiscal year, more than doubling the $50.2 million the nonprofit reported the previous year. The Southern Poverty Law ended the year with $449 million in net assets, including $432.7 million endowment. The SPLC's financial portfolio includes offshore investments in the Cayman Islands. Oh, you mean they're laundering money out in the Cayman Islands, all this communist goddamn wealth coming in here to take our country away from us. This is why we have such a hard fight, people. I mean, this is the enemy. They're not shit as far as brains or brawn. They're nothing. But goddamn, when they have set up the system, when they have put it together till the system, breathes on mammon, and they control the mammon. This is how it works. The most incompetent people can, you know, they're out there and they can be in your face 24/7 telling the lies, and one man telling the truth, man, they can bury your ass. The SPL's financial portfolio can include in Cayman Islands, British Virgin Islands, and Bermuda. The organization's final financial documents show. The Capital Research Center, a conservative nonprofit, first noted the SPLC's impressive financial reports on Friday. The center's senior vice president, Matthew Vadim, noted that it would appear that SPLC is cashing in by generating unjustified fear over a handful of fringe right groups and by falsely portraying President Trump as a racist would-be fascist dictator. No. It's all a part of the production. You got to have good guys to have bad guys, and bad guys to have good guys, don't you know? And you can pick a side and finance a side, and both sides are going to stick it in your back, man. Imagine all the Southern Poverty Law could solve with that money. Imagine what we could do with that money, people. Imagine it. Just try to, and that's why you'll never see that kind of wealth come towards this movement. This is the most righteous thing in this goddamn country. The Bill of Rights, hello? The people, this is what the people stood up in Lexington and Concord for their goddamn rights. I mean, there is no higher calling, but you won't see it financed. I mean, anybody that would try to help, they would destroy them behind the scenes, because it is the flow of mammon that makes the world go around. It's what makes the goddamn gas go in the car and the car go down the road. Do you take the work so you get some more of the mammon so that you can have a roof over your head, so that you can have food on your table? That's how it works. It is the blood life of this country is goddamn evil mammon. The center's senior vice president, Mike Vadim, noted, yep, cashing in, huh? Imagine all the Southern Poverty Law poverty they could solve. Oh, yeah, I guess so. Southern poverty. Well, poverty. Poverty across this goddamn country. 100 million people displaced. I mean, our people, man. The people who can... You know, the people running this government, you go in, most of them, when they come up, my father came here, my grandfather, they're all second generation. Where are the goddamn descendants of the original Americans? I'll tell you where. They're living in poverty. They're living in southern poverty. They're living in northern poverty, eastern and western poverty across this nation. They are the ones that are being dispossessed. And they are the ones who are going to have no voice to scream out about it if mammon can control the narrative. That being said, guys, we will be back on Monday with another broadcast of The Word from the Trenches on PBFTT at 12 Pacific, 3 Eastern. And until then, we're going to go try to relax a little bit and don't hold it against us. And that is The Word from the Trenches.
Man above, I have done all I can do.
Cookies!